about Sukkot, about the holiday Sukkot. And yeah, I don't know if everybody had a chance to see our sukkah that's out there. It's a little wet, but you know, it looks beautiful and it's wonderful. I do encourage you to take some time, maybe come during lunch one day if you want and go have a meal in there, bring a folding chair, like we said, and enjoy just some fellowship with other people, you know, connect with people and say, hey, let's meet in the sukkah. So this is the week of Sukkot. And sukkah is a booth, like a temporary structure, and Sukkot is the feast of booths or many structures. And we know all over the world, Jewish people and Messianic synagogues and regular synagogues, you know, traditional synagogues, they're putting up sukkahs all over the place. They put them up in Israel, here in the United States, and all over the world. And it's wonderful to see all the different kinds of sukkahs. That's not what my message is about, but I just love to talk about the sukkah and what's going on in there and just the joy that we can have just being part of each other's lives and eating and fellowshipping in the sukkah during this season of Sukkot, which is called the Feast of Booths, also the Feast of Tabernacles. You may have heard it by a couple of different names, and it is one of the Shalosh Regalim, the three pilgrimage festivals that are found in Torah. It's found in the Bible. And during those pilgrimage festivals, Jewish men historically over the ages would travel wherever they were living in the diaspora. Diaspora is just anywhere outside of Israel. And they would go to Israel for these wonderful and unique and special holidays. Three different holidays. We have a lot of holidays, but these were three different holidays. And I want to talk about them in just a minute. But and how they all connect. But you would go up to Jerusalem during this time. Of course, Sukkot is the last of the three major holidays in the fall. We've had Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and now Sukkot. And I just want to read from Torah one of the places that the holiday of Sukkot is found. Leviticus chapter 23, beginning with verse 33. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the seventh month, and for 7 days is the Feast of Booths to the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no ordinary work. For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall hold a holy convocation and present a food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no ordinary work. Now Sukkot is a multi-layered holiday. There's a lot of things going on with Sukkot, and I want to be able to talk about some of those tonight. I kind of have a shorter message. I'm not going to get to every aspect of Sukkot, but there's a lot of meaning and there's a lot of imagery behind this holiday. If you want to read up on it, it would be good. We're going to be talking about a lot of it tonight, though. I'll quickly go through. But the overall theme that I wanted to talk about tonight regarding Sukkot is this idea of fulfillment, being made full or coming to the end of something and fulfilling something. Sukkot is the fulfillment of all that has come before. There is a cycle of the holidays, and it kind of just happens over and over and over. But in a lot of ways, Sukkot is at the end of that cycle every year. And there's reasons why, because when we're going to get into it tonight, but there's reasons why physically, with the way that the seasons are and the harvesting season and agriculture, but there's also spiritual and prophetic fulfillment in Sukkot. It's a time of ingathering, and it also speaks to a prophetic future time when not only Israel and those that believe in Yeshua scattered over the world, but all the nations will be under the rule of Adonai. They will be under the rule of Hashem. And all the nations will be worshiping him all over the world. It's a wonderful thing to think about in the future. Of course, it's not here now, but it's something that we can prophetically look towards in the future. And it really ties into Sukkot. So, Sukkot marks the end of the fall harvest season. Not many of us are farmers here. I don't know a lot about agriculture. But and it's interesting because here in Florida, Sukkot is wonderful and it's joyful, but you can't really go in the sukkah much. Why? Because it rains all the time. It rains all the time. You know, I guess up north it doesn't rain as much, but here in Florida, it's like not the best time of the for the holiday to be here. But everything that when we talk about it, it's not based in Florida, you know? The Jewish world doesn't revolve around Boca Raton, you know? We think it does, maybe New York City, but it really revolves around Jerusalem. It revolves around Israel. And when you go to Israel, the climate in Israel is very different than the climate here in America and even Florida. So Sukkot in Israel is a big deal, and it does mark the end of this harvest season that historically the ancient Israelites, they were in, you know, they were doing agriculture, so it really tied in. And it's hard for us in 2025 when we go to the grocery store and buy our food and we do all these things that are like the modern conveniences of life. It's hard to realize how significant Sukkot is because we don't live in those times and we don't live in an agricultural society and we don't live in Jerusalem. But if we did back then, we would understand it a lot more. So we can just imagine, you know, tonight what it would have been like after you have worked and toiled all season. You're a farmer. You've planted the crops. You've watered the crops. You've done everything you could. You've prayed to the Lord for the harvest. And here comes Sukkot, and you reap all of the things that you sowed. Traditionally, during Sukkot, I mean, that's pretty joyful, right? You would want to rejoice in that, and they did. Traditionally, during Sukkot, we read Psalm 118. We actually sang Psalm 118 a few minutes ago. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov. God has given us this harvest, which was the entire life for people. You talk about currency, you talk about sustenance for a living. Everything revolved around getting that harvest for them. Having that food, having that, all of those things that helped them to live and to move on past that. So this was very significant. And you were saying at that time, give thanks to the Lord because he's given us this harvest. He's given us everything that we have been toiling for all season long. Now, during this time, we have special blessings recited over what we call the four species. I'm going to do a little show and tell now. So I've got my lulav and etrogs here. These are the four species. 1, 2, 3, 4, okay? Now, what we have, and this is very, you know, it's really great in Judaism. We have all of these wonderful things to look at. You know, it's like I said, show and tell, and all of this imagery for which to then glean spiritual things, physical things and spiritual things. So if we look at these four species, what we see here is, I'm going to hold it the way I would hold it, but you can see it from the other side too. We have this thing here, this lulav. This is called the lulav. These are all parts of the harvest, by the way. This is the lulav. It's a palm branch. We have the arava, which is the willow. We have the hadas, which is the myrtle. And we have this really nice-smelling fruit called the etrog. And this is a citrone. It's not a lemon. But you can eat it. But it's grown primarily in Israel, also in southern Italy. But it's a very special thing, and these are very sacred things because they represent the harvest during Sukkot time. We wrap them together as we have here in this nice little packet here, and we recite blessings during Sukkot. We wave them in all the directions of the earth during Sukkot, and this is what you would do in your booth, in your sukkah. So if you want to come during the week, and we're here in the office, you can borrow my lulav and etrog. You can go out there and you can shake it in the sukkah. That's kind of what we do. It symbolizes the harvest. It symbolizes God's omnipresence all over the world, his creation. Now, that's the physical, and that's great. But there's also spiritual significance to all of these four species. Now, in the Mishnah, in Jewish commentary on the Bible, there is a certain place where it describes the four species and it likens them to the human body or human body parts. So if we go back to our four species, the lulav, it's very stiff and it looks like a spine. So this represents a spine. And we have the willow here, which if you turn it sideways, it looks like lips. So we have the spine and that symbolizes a person doing something. You know, with your spine, you go and you do. With the willow, the lips, it symbolizes speaking. Okay? With the myrtle, it, if you turn it, it looks, it's smaller than the other one. It looks like an eye. So it symbolizes, of course, seeing. And the etrog, it looks like a heart. And it symbolizes knowing. So doing, speaking, seeing, and knowing. In that Jewish midrash, there's a quote from the Tanakh. And the quote that they have is Psalm 35:10. And Psalm 35:10, the beginning part of that psalm verse says, "All my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like you?" You know, we sing, "Who is like you?" all the time. In Judaism, we ask a lot of questions. Who is like you? But we know the answer. There is no one, right? Mi chamocha behilim Adonai, mi chamocha nadar b'kodesh. So we say, "O Lord, who is like you?" And these four species represent a person. It represents you and I. So that's deep spiritual significance to all of this. With our whole being, we are to worship. We are to give thanks to God. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov. And it's customary, like I said, when you dwell in your sukkah, to wave it, to say the blessings, and to rejoice in what God has given us all in our lives, in the harvest of our lives. So that's one really, really key piece of imagery for Sukkot. But there's more. There's even deeper spiritual significance to this holiday. Now, Rabbi Arthur Waslow, in his book Seasons of Our Joy, which is a great book about all the holidays, he says that Sukkot is, quote, "the festival of fulfillment, of gathering in the benefits that flow from repentance and forgiveness." We just went through Yom Kippur, where there was a lot of repentance, where we were forgiven for our sins. And he says that this festival is a festival of fulfillment, of gathering in all the benefits that flow from that repentance and forgiveness. The harvest that takes the form of joy and shalom, harmony in the world, end quote. What's interesting about Sukkot is how it falls into the cycle of the holidays. Sukkot comes 6 months after Passover, or Pesach. Now remember, Passover is one of the Shalosh Regalim. Shavuot, which is 50 days later after Passover, is one of the Shalosh Regalim. And this holiday, Sukkot, is one of the Shalosh Regalim. Those three. And we see from Passover to Sukkot, this season of planting and all of this stuff. And then there's the harvest at the end of Sukkot. So we see, and he talks about it in the book, Waslow, he says that it's a fulfillment of everything that starts in Passover. The harvest comes after all that's been planted and watered all season long. And if we go even a little deeper, you see the Shalosh Regalim, you see the three. Passover represents the liberation from slavery and sin. Shavuot represents contact with God at Mount Sinai. And Sukkot represents the ingathering of the harvest. So three very specific different things and meanings behind those holidays. It is the exact same pattern that we find in our liturgy for the Kiryat Shema, or the blessings over the Shema. When we say the Shema is actually three paragraphs. We say the Shema, and then we say the Ve'ahavta. There's actually two other paragraphs after that. That's the Shema. There are, I'm talking about the morning blessings, or the morning Shacharit liturgy, which we do every Saturday morning. There's two blessings before the Shema and one blessing after the Shema. It's in every Siddur. The first blessing is the blessing talking about God as creator. Yotzer Or is the primary piece of liturgy. Okay? And I'm going to tie all this together in a minute. The second part, so creation is the first blessing. The second blessing focuses on revelation. Ahava Rabbah, which is God and his love for us. We see the revelation of the love God has for us. And then we do the Shema. And then after the Shema is the blessing of redemption. And that is Emet Beretziv, or En Michamocha. That's part of the redemptive blessing. We sing Michamocha every day. So you can see this pattern with the Shalosh Regalim. Passover is as if creation, when Israel was brought forth as a nation, pulled out of slavery and into freedom. So that represents creation. Then 50 days later, they came to Mount Sinai and they received the revelation of Torah. and their constitution as a people, the Jewish people. That represents revelation, just like the second blessing of the Shema. And then the third blessing is redemption, and that is represented by Sukkot. This is the season of redemption, the season of fulfillment, and this is a redemption from everything that's happened. Creation at Passover, revelation at Sinai for Shavuot, and then Sukkot is redemption for us. Now, we see in Numbers chapter 29 in the Torah, when this holiday was given, there was to be 7 days and 70 bulls. If you read through the text of Numbers 29, 70 different bulls were sacrificed. Why 70? Because 70 represents the amount of nations on the earth at that time. And remember, this is a holiday of bringing everything together. It's not just about Israel, it's about the whole world. So there was a bull sacrifice for every nation of the world, representing all of us together as humankind, under God, under his headship, under his kingship. All the nations on earth will be one day under the dominion of Hashem. So we see this cycle: creation, Passover, revelation at Shavuot, redemption at Sukkot. And here we are at the end, the season of our redemption. What's interesting about the season of our redemption in Sukkot is it's also a season of God's habitation with man. Sukkot actually means habitation. God dwelt with his people during the 40 years in the wilderness. It's represented by these temporary structures that we build every year, these sukkahs. And it represents God dwelling with man. There's a habitation. And we remember this every year when we do that. Remember how our ancestors went through the wilderness for 40 years in temporary structures that they had to create before they made their home in Israel. We need to look and see all of this fulfillment, all of this redemption, and all of this habitation. It finds itself in the person of Yeshua, our Messiah, ultimately. We see a messianic significance to everything. He is the fulfillment of this redemption that we have and this habitation that we have. Yeshua was the Word, the Memra. He came 2,000 years ago and he dwelt with us. He habitated with us. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, habitated with us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we have to remember that of all these ways of fulfillment and habitation and redemption, it all finds itself for us in fulfillment in Yeshua, our Messiah. He came into this world, he dwelt among us, and we believe that one day he will come again to set up his kingdom on earth. And we're going to see the ultimate fulfillment. You know, when we celebrate Sukkot, we have all this imagery and all these things that we remember, but we should also remember Yeshua and what he is going to do in the future when he returns. That will be the ultimate fulfillment, the ultimate habitation, and the ultimate redemption that we have. And Sukkot should remind us about this as we celebrate this joyful holiday, because our joy is now complete in Messiah Yeshua. So let's keep the holiday with joy. Yes, it's tempered with this anniversary coming up of October 7th. Yes, it's tempered with everything that's going on in the world, with even what's going on in our lives. But that's the tension that we have to live with while we live in the Olam Hazeh, this world. But the Olam Haba, the world to come, there will be no sorrow, there will be no sighing, there will be no illness or death. There will only be joy and redemption and habitation with God that not only Israel will experience, but the entire world, complete redemption for this earth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you because your word, it all ties together. We see the fulfillment of it all in Sukkot. It should just fill us with joy to overflowing, Lord. It should make us realize that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as Psalm 23 says right now, and the darkness seems all around us right now, there will be just light and your redemptive work all throughout this new Jerusalem, this new earth, and new heaven one day. So, Lord, we're thankful. We look forward to that, Lord. Maybe we experience just a sliver of that, Lord, of that joy as we celebrate Sukkot this year. We thank you for bringing us to this season of our joy. We thank you for all that you're doing, the redemptive work of Yeshua, and we thank you for who you are today, tonight, every day, and every night. We praise you and thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen.